everybody. This is the SFU podcast. SFU, and I'm saying SFU right now because I've received emails
still fucking from
the YouTubes, the overlords at YouTube. And I know I've heard it before that they frown upon cursing, at least within the first 5 minutes or so. And
yes,
if you ever hope to be heard by more than like 11 people,
yeah,
they frown upon it. So if they're going to advertise for you, they're like, they sent me an email back saying, this content is shocking.
Yes, it is.
I imagine them with a monocle.
Doing one of these numbers.
Pushing up their monocle on their nose. They're not even wearing it right.
No.
It's a Cyclops monocle.
Yeah,
it's
a monocle?
Huge.
I was all pushing it up like I had
exactly.
Glasses on.
Yeah. You're stupid.
Yeah,
so they have the curly Monopoly guy mustache.
Yeah, boy.
So I submitted it for advertising, just so everybody's clear on what YouTube's guidelines are like. If you've seen any of the last few episodes, they said that we talked about sensitive events, shocking content, and addiction, something to do with addiction. And I was like, duh, in the fucking headline for the advertising campaign, I was like, this podcast was inspired by our addiction recovery. So of course we're going to speak about addiction. What the fuck? People, we call them normies. You know what I mean?
Right.
People that were never drug addicts. Mm-hmm. They say things like, why do you talk about drugs if you're not a drug addict still?
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we supposed to talk about when all we knew for about a decade or more was that life?
Yeah.
That's like growing up riding dirt bikes. And then you're just like, bro, I was fucking out there on my KX125, bro, fucking drinking monsters, bro. And you're like, why do you talk about dirt bikes so much? And they're like, bro, I've done that since I was a fucking kid.
Yeah.
Same shit, except
Sack Lee. Yeah,
that's a guy that I met in jail. But that, I mean, obviously that wasn't while we were kids. Well, you kinda, but that's
still growing up.
Like every portion of your life. Okay, so the latter half of my teenage years, and then through most of my 20s, pretty much all of my 20s, I was either on, you know, opiates, Xanax,
whatever
people gave me, meth, coke, any of those things.
You know,
I was a garbage can.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was still, like, I was talking to my dad yesterday, or was it the day before? Whatever. It was sometime within the last year, okay, which is 20 days by this point. The inauguration happened today, just so we're clear. So I was talking to him, and I totally forgot what my fucking point was.
Just right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just forgot. What was I saying before that?
That you were just talking to your dad about something. Because we were just talking about how people ask us, why do you talk about your addiction if you're in recovery?
Ah, fuck. I totally lost it.
Damn it.
Yeah, I had it. Because it was outside of my house when he said it. He was like, it went in that, trust me. It totally made sense.
I believe you, bro.
It totally made sense.
Yeah.
Everything worked out perfectly fine. But yeah, he did like the 80s drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
So he never got addicted. You know what I mean? So people that can do that, it's amazing for people like us to see people just do heroin once or twice, or, you know, take pills like they're supposed to take them, you know, as required by or as instructed by pharmacists.
Yeah, and there was like people who'd be like, yeah, I'll smoke meth here and there. And then they're like, yeah, like, dude, do you want to do some right now? They're like, no, I don't. I'm not doing it.
I don't really feel it. I don't really feel like doing it right now.
What? Like, yeah. If I wasn't doing it for a little bit and somebody was like, hey, I got some shards, bro. You want to.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't even finish their statement.
Say, I've got.
And you would already have stolen everything out of their house.
I would have already been there.
Yeah. You would have already been fucking their wife. Yeah. Because you were going to assume, I've got a wife that you can have sex with, that you thought that's what they were going to say.
Well, yeah, that's what they said.
Shit happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, it's amazing that, but there's always going to be that debate. Is addiction a predisposition? Like, are you born with this little thing in you? And one day when you find that substance, yeah, when you find that thing outside of you and then they meet inside and they fuck.
Right.
Then you're just like, it's on, dude. It's fucking on and popping.
See, that's something that I had to
with
explain.
With 4Gs.
Me and my brother explained it to my family, but like, so that's something that I've had to explain to my parents, me personally, like, about addiction, because they're like, we never did that shit. Like, my mom was a whatever, goody two shoes all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was just a, I don't know if I would call him an alcoholic. I mean, he was a, you drink, bro. You go out and party and shit. And then there's me, and they're like, yeah, we were worried about the alcohol, but we never thought it would turn to this. I'm like, yeah, but my addiction was my own choice at that point. I chose to continue that shit, and.
But then there's the case from when you go to rehab and they tell you this over and over again.
Yeah.
Addiction is a disease. You right. didn't have a choice, but you and me, like, being the people that went through it, were like, well, I'm pretty sure I had a choice. I could have said no, but the disease that they say of addiction, the disease of addiction, because it can be classified that way, because right. there are symptoms to this thing. There's an outcome. It has all the signs of an actual disease.
Yeah. Would it be considered more maybe like as a a developed disease after?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean,
because afterwards, I would think
it's like AIDS in that it is acquired, because you don't just like fresh out of elementary school into middle school and you're just like, I'm pretty sure I'm addicted to heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've never done it.
Chew a piece of gum and you're like.
Yeah, like the Family Guy thing. Haha, that was trick gum. Now you're addicted to heroin. I'm so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Which totally, it kind of makes sense.
Checks out.
It was more like if they would have said, oh, I'm so itchy.
Yeah.
You know? And you just kind of like lazily rubbed your loose face. We went like, remember we were at that fucking store. We were at Cloud Slingers. Down there by the Safeway, there down there in the Safeway
yes,
Plaza
sir.
Here in Lake Havasu City. And we found out that they were, that the people that work there, at least for the vast majority of them, which
right.
isn't that many people, they were all addicts at one point. So I got into a conversation. Yeah, I got into a conversation with them and they informed me that they're like, oh yeah, this was opened by people who were addicts and we give discounts to recovering addicts and shit like that. I was like, oh, that's cool. And it all came because the loose face of a heroin or opiate addict was visible on somebody who used to work there. They do not work there anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, oh, that person that was on fucking heroin or opiates or Xanax for sure. And they're like, oh yeah. And that was before I told them I was an addict. So they were just yeah. like, it's like a superpower, like how Jews can tell who other Jews are, I've heard.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only tell that if I hear their last name. I can be like, are you Jewish? Maybe. I don't
One
know.
Of these.
Yeah, it's tough. But addicts can usually sniff out other addicts.
Oh, for sure.
I tested this shit out when I was in Syracuse, New York. I tested it out there. Like, there were these people that worked at a carnival. And I met one of the girls and she was like, I was fired from the carnival. And I was just like, why? And I had that look when SpongeBob caught Squidward in the fucking
yeah,
case
yeah,
with all those
yeah,
Krabby
yeah.
Patties and his
yeah.
face went to the top of his body.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Squidward.
Yeah, yeah.
You love Krabby Patties. Yeah, so it was that kind of thing. And she was like, it's kind of personal, isn't it? And I was like, I've been a heroin recovering. Well, at that point, I was like, I've been a heroin addict for a decade. And then she was like, yeah, it was for heroin. And I was like, fuck, I fucking knew it, dude.
Fuck yeah, let me get some.
Yeah, give me $100 worth right now. And out east, they do tickets. It's weird. It's a weird system. It's way weird. Don't understand it. I don't care anymore. But, yeah. It's, and that's also the other thing, like, they talk about you have to get out of the situation that you're in. So out of the city that you live in, away from the people that you hang out with.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, some people say you can't run from your problems, but then you also can't hang out with your fucking problems.
Can't hang out with them.
Yeah. So there's a happy medium there because I left and I was doing well for a long while.
It's like being in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know that it's better to just get the fuck out of it, but it's so hard to. That's it's
sucks you back in.
Yeah, that's just being a drug addict.
Yeah.
It's a toxic relationship. It doesn't do anything good for you in the literal sense or always, in any other.
Using heroin was always a love-hate relationship for me.
Yeah.
Because I fucking love heroin, bro.
Well, of course.
Like, and this sounds so bad, but like, yeah, I fucking love it. Like, I know how it feels, so but like, I hate it because it was like, cool, I'm gonna do this, and you already know in the back of your head, I'm gonna feel like shit tomorrow. I feel great right now, but
yeah, it comes down to, does the risk outweigh the reward? And the answer is always no. And there's always that point.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's always, well, but I can justify why I can go do it. Like, you meet people that literally, they develop physical pain, psychosomatic pain, because like people who are addicted to pain pills, especially like when I was taking 30 Vicodin, throw it in my mouth, chew it up and drink a cactus cooler.
Hey.
I would do that. And to get them, I would have to ask people who I wouldn't normally, you know, assume would be cool with selling me prescription drugs. You know what I mean? So I'd have to be like, man, my back sure does hurt.
Yeah.
I can't barely walk even.
Damn.
And they're like, oh, my dad has some fucking Vicodin. I can give it to you. And I'm like, oh man, that'd be great. I'm kind of worried about taking them. Nervous.
Nah, you don't have to, man. It's cool.
Oh, it really hurts now. It's like you got shot by a fucking silenced gun.
Yeah.
My back.
Ooh, giggity.
Please. And then you just eat fucking a whole bottle of 180 and shit. But you, at a certain point, you start feeling an actual severe pain in your back. Or
and everywhere.
It's wherever you choose. Like, did you ever, as a kid, for like attention, pretend to hurt yourself? And then you're just like, ooh, my fucking knee, dude. Fuck. I used to be like obsessed with ACE bandages when I was a kid. I just wanted to wrap it around. I was just like, this is fucking.
My kids are obsessed with Band-Aids right now.
See? It's the same shit. But an ACE bandage, I'd be like, ooh, my fucking knee, dude.
Yeah, that fucking really hurts now.
Yeah. And then eventually, from just holding my knee and being like, my knee hurts really bad, grandma, it would start hurting really fucking. Maybe that's why I have chondromalacia in my knees, because I tempted fate. I willed that shit into my knees, bro. I'm so fucking powerful with my mind. But yeah, I was obsessed with, like, I liked the idea of adults thinking I was hurt.
Yeah.
And I liked the things that they had to do to try to fix it. Like, you could get snacks, whatever.
Fuck. When I was younger, I would think, like, if I'm hurt and have, like, a cast or I'm wrapped up, girls will be like, oh, my God.
That was later. Like, I was fucking, like, six doing that shit. Later on, like, it was like, yeah. Do you want to sign my cast?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It hurts so bad right now. So be very, very gentle.
Do you want to put the pencil between your butt cheeks and sign my cast? Please. My mom said that whatever, I could bring bagel bites to school tomorrow if you do that. Oh, man. Would you go back to school? Like, if you had to go back to school, what point would you go? Like, what grade would you want to go back to?
Probably ninth, because I don't remember any of it.
Really? I don't mean go back to the actual place where it's like your same class
No,
go through the same shit. Just like to go back to a grade.
Okay.
Just because like...
Probably...
There's a different... It's like a different ambiance to every grade,
probably,
you know?
Probably eighth grade, bro, because
really?
I remember eighth grade, right? I did 4 years of middle school. So I remember everyone's excited to get the fuck out of middle school, go to high school, and I was just like, I've been fucking doing this shit for 4 years. God,
okay.
I can't wait. And then that summer, it was just like, high school next year, man. Parties. Like.
So, yeah, I get that makes sense.
Yeah.
So middle school
yeah.
is what you're saying. I mean, I fucking loved... For me, like, 4th through 6th grade.
Okay.
Or actually, yeah, 4th through 6th. Because in Hesperia, where I live, 7th and 8th was the only two grades at the middle school. It was kindergarten through 6th grade as elementary at Kingston.
Okay.
Huh. So 4th, 5th, and 6th grade was fucking just, it was the shit. Because, like, every girl in my class liked me. So it was just like, I'm a fucking player pimp up in here, dude. It was cool. I got my first girlfriend like in fourth grade named Stephanie, and she was blonde. And there was just, it was sick. You know what I mean? That would never happen. But now, I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like.
You know what? Middle school kind of sucked.
Middle school,
like,
sucked balls, dude.
Because I was like more like, at that point, I remember having to be aware of how I looked.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't give a fuck because I have that really curly long hair.
Yeah.
So I didn't give a fuck, but like that thought was always in my mind. I'm like, I look like a
exactly.
beast, dog.
In elementary school, you're just like stupid jeans, old
jean
passed
jorts?
Down Jordan shirt.
Wearing jorts and shit.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I had ones that had this. Zipper? The left leg was shorts and it was just jeans. Then this side, it was jeans, but it also had, like, white panel stripes. And then I had those JNCOs that had the zipper up the side, and there was camo inside.
Ooh.
So they got baggier when you unzipped them, and it was camo. The JNCO was, if you didn't have JNCOs, you were a fucking bitch. Get off the kickball court, dog. We fucking scrapping.
Cargo shorts, pants, things.
Cargo skorts.
You can
unzip the knees.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I used to wear Hawaiian shirts because I was obsessed with even Stevens.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, because you know he always rocked the...
That's OG Shia LaBeouf, too.
That's what I'm saying.
That's dope. I had a trampoline, and I wore those fucking unzip knee ones, and I landed my knee patella on the zipper, dude. And I was like, Mom, fucking no more of these, dude. This shit's over with. Yeah.
I was just picturing you fall in slow motion, and as soon as it hits, you're like,
Yeah, it was shitty. Because we had, like, our patio was right by the trampoline, so me and my friend Eric, we would grab pillows and shit. We were huge WWF fans, just doing suplexes off the fucking thing, doing front flips. And I jumped off and, like, did a front flip and landed on my knees and just, ching, it felt like it cracked my fucking patella in half, dude. I was so upset. Dude, that time that I was teaching her to do a back handspring,
yeah,
like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you straight just over rotated and flipped right the fuck
what
off the trampoline.
That I got my hands planted on that fucking thing. I felt my hands feel it, and then I was like, oh, I'm gone. Bye.
Yeah.
No, and then I hit that pole.
You hit the pole
ground.
With your back, and I was like, it went up his anus, dude. It's fucking gone. And then it just bent fucking on the ground. And I was more scared for me because I couldn't stop laughing. So it was like the runner's pain in my rib from laughing too hard. Plus I was just jumping on a trampoline and I'm fucking 30. I was 31 or 32 at the time.
Oh my God.
Too much fucking work. And it was a brand new fucking thing.
We had just put it up.
Yeah. And then you almost died.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shit was fucking crazy. Oh man. But yeah, I for sure do not miss school, and I could not imagine going to school now. Like, to be whatever, 10.
I feel like it would be, I feel like if I was this age and they're like, you got to go back to school, Billy Madison style.
Oh, shit.
I think it would be so funny because, like, the teachers would be talking and I'd be like, idiot.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah, like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just macking on all the fucking... You'd be like a Billy Madison getting the fucking stack of Valentine's Day cards from little girls. You're just like, hey, Sally. No one's named Sally anymore. Let's get that fucking straight. Anytime anybody says a little girl's name, it's fucking Sally.
Sally.
When did you meet a Sally in your fucking life, dude? Even an adult Sally. I've never met one.
Don't like the name.
I know Sally Jesse Raphael, and I know Sally Fields, Sally Struthers, but they're all
Sally
40 to 60 or whatever the fuck. Ain't nobody named Sally. Damn.
Sally.
Sally sells seashells by the seashore and shit.
Yeah.
That's the only Sallys that ever existed.
That's the only Sally I know is the one who was selling seashells.
Yeah.
By the seashore.
What do you think that, okay, I mean, it's hard to wrap my mind around it. Like, to have cell phones as a kid and have social media and, you know, To Catch a Predator people.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Those people. Oh. To have all of that shit, kids have to be growing the fuck up way, like... I mean, it's not true, actually. They're not growing up faster. They're just getting introduced to shit that most people didn't get until they were in high school, and they're getting it at fourth grade.
Yeah.
Like, they're hearing about butt fucking...
And WAP.
Yeah, they heard WAP. They know about everything now. They know about...
Daughter knows that.
They know about spelling their name with their puss.
Roxy freaking Luna, my daughter, was singing that song one day, right? And I was like, no.
Nuh-uh. What the fuck? You're not making anything now, drop up in here.
No. Now she ain't singing it. She's going. She's humming it. And I could hear her. And I'll look
That's
at her.
Like someone.
She'll do this.
What's up, bitch?
Yeah.
That's like someone saying the N-word to you.
Yeah.
I told you not to sing WAP, dude. And now you're humming it. It's in my brain still.
Yeah.
Just because you said the N-word doesn't mean you didn't say the word.
Right.
Now you're just thinking the word.
Yeah.
You made someone else think the word. She's making you think the song. Is there always a song in your imagination? Is there always a song, like, playing in your head? Because pretty much at any time during the day, if someone was like, hey, what song's playing in your head right now? I could... Just real quick, just start singing. Don't wanna be a monkey wrench. Do you have that?
Not.
Or am I the only human?
No, that happens to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, I do this ready for this, and you're very.
Damn,
used
your
to
hands
it.
Are yeah. dirty.
Yeah, they are. Look at that cut right there, too. Feels
Woo!
Good. But yeah,
we just got off of work, so.
I usually do this face, like. Well, if you ask me, like, ask me right now. This is what I'd be doing.
What am I asking you? About the song thing?
Go.
What song's playing in your head right now, dude? Got the money. Dollar bill, yeah, y'all. Yeah.
No, it's usually just, I'm like, blank.
It's just, the fucking, like, the movie, the phone's left off the hook. Bam, 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 bam. It's just, or it's, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sir Mix-a-Lot.
That's it.
Damn.
That's it right there.
It's just always Baby Got Back. That'd be crazy. If it was just one song stuck in your head all the time, do you think you could handle that shit?
No.
Yeah, because if I hear a song fucking, like, most of the time, if I hear a song twice in a row,
wasn't that like?
I'll be like, I never want to hear it again.
Wasn't that like a way people were tortured? They just
played
a fucking sound or something just over and
over
again?
Well, yeah. Like, I heard it was like the military for Waco, that whole crazy shit that went on.
Blue shots, I'm pretty like sure. Texas?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they, like, blasted Metallica, like Ride the Lightning or some shit, one of the older Metallica albums. I was like, that's one of the good ones, though, bro. And they're playing the whole album. Just play, like, a song off of what was that really shitty album? One of their last ones.
The Black Album. album?
No, that album has some good songs on it. I'm not a huge fan.
Wasn't my favorite, but whatever.
I like Master of Puppets is my favorite. Master of Puppets.
Ride the Lightning is my favorite album.
Ride the Lightning is pretty fucking sick. Kill 'Em All is fucking sick.
Oh, for sure,
but
dude.
Master of Puppets has Welcome Home, Sanitarium. That's one of my favorites. That song One is pretty dope, even though it's overplayed on the radio and shit. And Justice for All is a really good album.
That one song by them?
One. Yeah, that song. The song is called One, everybody. Yeah. You know that song.
What if it was just Aqua playing in your head over and over again?
I'm a Barbie girl.
Just over and over again.
Or there was that American Dad episode where it was, I saw the sign.
Oh my god.
Ace of Base, dude. Ooh. No, one of the worst ones would be fucking Chumbawamba.
Oh,
bruh.
My god.
I get knocked down, but I ain't up again, and they ain't gonna keep me down. That I would fucking lose it. There's some songs I could for sure handle for a while, but it could never happen.
If it was like albums?
Yeah, I could do an album.
That's fine.
Probably.
I do albums all the time.
Yeah, I repeat albums a lot.
Like
Bayside, I'd do Bayside on a fucking loop,
like,
or Alkaline Trio.
I want to listen to a certain band or a song or like whatever. I'm like, I'll play whatever song, but like I'll end up hearing the rest of the album.
I never do shuffle or just go pick a song. I always just go to the album, I start it, and I fucking go.
That's what I do.
Unless like I'm talking about a song, obviously I'm not going to listen to the whole album to get to it because I'm not fucking crazy. But I just like to listen to the full fucking album. I don't understand the shuffle thing. It seems too OCD for me. Like, it's too ADD for me, I mean. It's
the only
fucking
time I'll
back and forth.
Press shuffle. Yeah, I've heard a lot of the albums I listen to. I've heard a million fucking times. So sometimes, I'll press shuffle and I'll just be like, okay, cool, this, whatever. Just random.
It can be nice at in a environment where it's like a lot of people around. It's in the background. But if I'm at work and I get in the mood because I'm listening to Bayside, and then Nas comes on, and then The Misfits come on, and then Coheed and Cambria, it's such jarring shifts. And then Chelsea Grin plays, and then Eminem plays, and then fucking Job for a Cowboy Doom plays.
I got,
like, what the fuck?
If my playlist were to be pressed, like, if I press shuffle on it, which I haven't even made one yet, like, but it'd be so funny because it would go like reggae and like
reggae.
Yeah.
Everything's,
and then
everything's
like,
Irie. That's what it would say.
Mendes, dog, because that fool gets down. I don't give a fuck what you say. But yeah, it's random like that. It's pretty funny though. Like, I think that's pretty funny when I hear.
I have some guilty pleasure. Shawn Mendes is a guilty pleasure for you, while Meghan Trainor is a guilty pleasure for me. I used to, when I worked at New West, I had premium Spotify and shit.
The dude's got a beautiful
I was just plowing through Meghan Trainor shit, dude. I was like,
dude,
this shit is dope.
I have fucking, like, I swear, I have past trauma with fucking Meghan Trainor. Mainly because I used to work at the Ultra Star Cinema,
and
right?
You were a trainer there.
No.
Oh.
They, at the end of the movies, when they're like waiting for the next one to come on,
they play All About That Bass.
It would be Meghan
Trainor.
That's
the only song I don't
that
like.
That one and a Christmas song she did or something. And it would just play over and over.
I
just
don't
like,
want a lot for Christmas. I don't like All About That Bass.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, that rape song?
Yeah.
That's a for sure rape song.
Yes, it is.
I really must be going. If you leave, I'll fucking kill you. Just redo it and be as aggressive and violent as the lyrics entail. But yeah, that All About That Bass was such a terrible representation of how good her fucking album is. Because that song, Walk of Shame, dope. Dear Future Husband, sick. And then later on when she had that song with fucking John Legend. I'm gonna love you.
Ooh.
Like I'm gonna lose you. That song, that shit goes ord as a motherfucker, dude. It's like 40s, 50s style music. It's
fucking beautiful.
Yeah. She gets down.
But dude, I fucks with like Camila Cabello. And like
that shit's Seinfeld cool. But that's the type of stuff that I would never download a full album and listen to it. It's just if, like, Charlie Puth comes on the radio, that song Attention.
Yeah.
How's that song go? Doom, 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 ba-doom, doom, 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 ba-bam, bam, bam, bam. You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Yeah, that shit comes on. Funky ass, funky fresh bass line, you jive ass turkey. That shit is fucking fire, bro. That shit's sick. The song's sick. I like that shit, but it's like, I know that half of his album, I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck yeah. Just that song's cool. I'll go on to the next. It's kind of, it's like the knack out here is that station or 103.1. Yeah. They play that shit. Like, I like that one Cardi B song. I like it like that.
I like it like that.
Yeah, I like it like that. I just, it, like, catchy shit. I'm a D-bag in that way, I guess. That's why I liked, that's why I really was drawn to pop punk music. Because pop punk music was like punk music, but it was catchy. It was, that's part of being a great musician to me. I love punk music. I can't be misconstrued on that point. I do love punk music. I like everything from the Casualties and Anti-Flag to Flipper, GBH, fucking Dead Boys, Stiv Baters, Circle Jerks, The Germs. I like all of that shit. But pop punk came through with bands like NOFX for me, or like Lagwagon, Swingin' Utters. And then up into things like Streetlight Manifesto could be considered in that genre. It was just, they brought in the whole verse, chorus thing. It was catchy. You could sing along to it. The guys, like the dudes from Lagwagon, they have good singing voices. They're not just yelling and angry. It just brought a little more dimension to punk music, and it wasn't like about the government.
Right.
But like, even like Bad Religion was cohesive, good music, like great musicianship, great lyrics. He's a fucking rocket scientist, Greg Gaffin. But I don't know what my point was. I'm just saying.
That's fine.
There's a reason that I fucking brought that shit up.
Why did you say that?
God damn it, dude. There was a reason I brought that up. But yeah. Shit's sick. Oh yeah, we were talking about guilty pleasures and like music, yeah, and things like that. But shit.
What would be like your guilty pleasure for like movies? Because like, I'm honestly, I'm kind of
got it. I already got it. My number one guilty pleasure of a movie is Bring It On. I had it on VHS when I had that portable VHS player, the VCR, and I would watch that shit over and over again. And it's not just because I was 15 and they were cheerleaders and they were super hot. It was at that time, from what I remember, it appealed to my teenaged angst and sensibilities, and it was fucking hysterical to me just at that moment. But so was Half Baked and Billy Madison and all that shit. But
I don't have a movie that's like my guilty pleasure, but like, I'm kind of a
By chick flicks, do you mean like The Notebook, or do you mean like rom-coms?
No, well, that too. With that too. But like, yes, like The Notebook, like shit like that.
I mean, I can deal with it.
Not for like any douchey reason or anything. It's just like, oh, this is great cinema.
Like, is it?
You know what I mean? Like,
but not like Lifetime movies.
No,
because then it's just like the longest period.
Yeah.
And it's just following some chick around, and she's just like, ooh. Ow, my uterine lining. Oh, fuck, I'm wearing a fucking period diaper.
Why did this I wear sucks. White pants today?
Yeah, it was a bad choice.
Yeah.
I saw that shit happen a couple times to, like, friends of mine that were girls.
It's pretty funny.
I had to, like, go pick this girl up, Tara. She was wearing like short shorts, and she had white short shorts, and she was just like, hey, fucking, can you pick me up? I was like, sure. And then she like laid her sweater down on the seat first. I'm like, what the fuck, why are your pants, oh my god, yeah, get the fuck out. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's whatever. I mean, everybody knows that that type of shit happens, so yeah. It's not anything fucking super weird. But yeah, The Notebook, I saw it, and of course, yeah, I was like, nah. But I would never want to watch it again. That's my problem there.
It's because of Ryan Gosling for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool. But I liked rom-coms, like some of them. Oh, my for real guilty pleasure. If you're talking genres of movies, musicals. I love Grease.
I love the Grease, too, but like...
The Grease. Like, I love the Grease.
No,
Grease is great. I fucking love it. The second one, whatever, can eat balls and shit on cocks.
Footloose.
Footloose, I never really gave a shit. But Rent, I loved it. I loved Rent. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was just going to fucking say that.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
Repo, The Genetic Opera.
High School Musical. No, I'm just kidding.
Even seen those.
I'm kidding.
I've never even seen them.
I have the box set at home.
I can't even think of... Oh, one of the greatest musicals of all time, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Mm-hmm. We were just singing, mm-hmm. while we were setting this shit up, we were just singing... Shut your fucking face, Uncle Parker. You're a cocksucking ass licking, Uncle Parker. And what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do. Such a fucking good movie.
Yeah, boy.
Even though they made it to where Cartman couldn't cuss for that whole part because he would get fucking zapped if he said cuss words. And, like, honestly, as a kid, that's why most of us watched it. Like, I remember it was like when you first saw CDs, or even with me in the beginning, it was cassette tapes with parental advisory warnings on them. So I got Green Day Dookie and I put on Longview and I would like fast forward it right to the part where he says, and I'm fucking lazy.
Yeah.
And that part, like, my friend would be coming over and I'm like, fucking listen to this, dude. Yeah, yeah. He just goes, and I'm fucking lazy. And I'm like, he fucking said it, dude. He fucking said that shit.
Yeah, boy.
I was always so excited about cussing because my mom was so hardcore at that time about... I couldn't say fucking fart, dude. I couldn't say fart.
You've told me this.
She tried to make me say toot.
Tooting. I'm and tooting, mother.
I would have rather been like, bitch, I ain't saying toot. You're never catching me saying fucking toot and being serious. Like, what was that? Tooted.
A tooted.
Yeah. And my great-grandma would always say, fluffing a daisy. I'm like, that's some 1920s ass shit, grandma. But yeah, so she was super hardcore about that. So, of course, I went off the fucking rails real quick, just saying the worst of words all of the time. And I say them in front of her now, and she doesn't give a shit because I'm fucking 33.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing with, like, repression with Catholic schoolgirls or any teens that get repressed, they rebel at a certain point, and that's when they act out and get fucked up and do stupid shit that ruins their fucking life, and then they end up in therapy talking about it. And a huge majority of the time, and I'm just generalizing, it's like, I wasn't allowed to do things. My parents were very strict. I couldn't, you know, my mom wouldn't let me watch Beavis and Butthead. But I would sneak out into the family room while they're sleeping and their door shut, and I would fucking turn on MTV.
Yeah.
And I'd watch Beavis and Butthead and then The Head. The Head came on after as a dude with a giant fucking head. And same with Ren and Stimpy and shit like that. So it's like you rebel immediately. Because you're so fascinated by, why are they telling me not to do this fucking thing? It's got to be awesome, right?
I could literally almost remember, like, when I first saw Adult Swim, like, as a child. And I was
when it was, like, home movies and Dr. Katz and shit.
Dude, but all this shit that they're, like, putting on there, I was just like, oh, my God, I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah,
and
it'd this be, like, is late dirty, at night. Dude.
I'm like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I felt like I was such a rebel. I'm like...
It creates a fascination. I wish there was a way to experiment, and it's impossible because you have to experiment with children and straight to either fuck one up on purpose or just find out that it doesn't matter. So there's a 50-50 chance that someone's just, their life's going to be fucked off forever and it's your fault.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that's kind of difficult. I guess they could, I mean... There's I mean, there's got to be ways to figure that out with the people that already went through it. You know what I mean? But then again, you never know. Is it the person? Are they just, again, predisposed to act shittily?
I don't like that thought of that, like predisposed.
Predispositions?
Yeah.
I mean, there's predispositions for certain things for sure.
I get it, but
actions and things like that, probably not.
No.
Like, some people are predisposed to have cancer or predisposed to have red hair. Or predisposed to have three brown eyes. You know what I mean? You fucking got it, dude. One of them's in your butt.
I've got three.
Yeah, that's it. Same Z's.
Yeah.
But yeah, predisposed to act a certain way, I doubt it, because that's like an acquired thing through actions, like through circumstances and situations, and just think of all the times that, you know, in a metaphor, you went left instead of right. You know, you came to a fork in the road and you're like, look at this fucking fork, dude. This is crazy. Wow, is this silver, dude?
Yeah.
Is this real sterling silver?
Wow.
And then you wandered off to the left instead of to the right where you were supposed to go.
That shit always trips me out.
Who knows, dude? Who knows?
Chabugala.
Chabugs. Indeed.
Yeah. No, that shit always trips me out.
Like, it's pretty weird.
Like, I remember I was talking, I think I was talking to Jose at work. I was like, what, I always thought about this. Like, when I moved to Arizona, right, I moved to Lake Havasu. What if I would have moved to, like, Kingman or, like, Bullhead instead?
You probably would have started tweaking even harder.
Instantly.
Yeah, because Kingman, for everybody that doesn't know, Kingman, Arizona, if you look it up, Kingman is where Timothy McVeigh came to help build the explosives for the Oklahoma City bombing. But it's also very well known as the meth capital of Arizona, and that a large majority of people are missing teeth and chromosomes. I don't know, a lot. It's a shitty place. But I mean, pretty much all of Mojave County, there's a portion of that. But Kingman's huge. It's been around a lot longer. And there's just a very big, widespread area of just dudes riding bikes with backpacks.
Yeah.
And they do not look like they're passing out Bibles. You know what I mean? Looks like they're passing out something else. You know what I mean? They're sucking some dicks and fucking getting some teeners and whatnot. Yeah. I moved around a lot. Like, I lived in Indiana. I lived in Ohio, fucking Florida, everywhere. I've lived all over the fucking place. And people are different depending on where in the country you are.
Yeah.
Like, people act a certain way. There's a certain sense of, like, civic pride in a state like New York. Just New York State, not even the fucking city. In the city, for sure, it's hardcore civic pride. But even in the state, because I was out there and I'm like, this is fucking miserable, dude. I'm in Rochester, New York, right by the Genesee River where Arthur Shawcross murdered many women, the Genesee River Strangler. There's a documentary on Netflix about it. It's fucking great. But right by that area, just gloomy, old fucking place, fucking freezing. Negative 48 wind chill because of the lake effect. The air blows over from Canada over the fucking lake into Rochester, New York. Just blizzards and freezing cold.
Great fucking time.
Yeah, so I'm just like talking to these dudes, the other tradesmen, because I was building a Costco out there. I was talking to these tradesmen, like, why the fuck did your ancestors decide to stop here? You know what I mean? Why did you choose this? And he was just like, it's fucking beautiful here sometimes.
It's beautiful, but he's like, only sometimes, maybe.
But it's like, I saw some video of a girl that was from Alaska, and she was here, and it's like 30 degrees and she's wearing like a tank top. She's like, yeah, this is like summer for us. But I was like, my grandma's from Alaska. She wore a sweater all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what the deal with that chick was. Maybe she was on PCP.
Psycho.
Maybe she cut out the part where she was drinking liquid PCP through a beer bong.
They always miss.
She, like, butt chugged PCP.
Miss that part.
They do. It's, I mean, YouTube doesn't want to show butt-chugging PCP. If I can't say still fucking up in the first 38 seconds of an episode, they're not going to show a girl butt-chugging PCP through a fucking funnel.
Which I'm not against, because I'm totally down to see it.
I would love to see the aftermath.
Yeah, no,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder if it would stay in. You'd have to lay on your back for a while to, like, because I've seen, like, Steve-O butt chugged a beer.
I put liquid meth in my butt.
I've done, like, a little, yeah, a little bit.
Why did I say that? Like, I'm ashamed.
Yeah. Liquid meth in Everyone my butt. Assumes you've put drugs up your ass.
I have.
Most seasoned drug addicts become mules at some point where they're like, whether I'll get a free gram if I shove 30 grams of heroin up my anus.
For business or pleasure.
Yeah, and it's usually not for pleasure. Then you got to do the soap finger because you can't shit because you're on drugs. You put soap on your finger and pop it in your rectum, damn near killed them, and then everything. It like does this full body clench like when you take a glycerin suppository or a Fleet enema, there's like a certain point. Because when you're doing heroin and shit, obviously you can't shit for weeks.
Yeah.
And then impacted shit, just huge cinder block of sharp razor blades and cactus.
It's like as heavy as this.
Oh, it's heavier. Way heavy.
Like this.
Yeah, it hits the water, displaces the water to where it falls out of the toilet. It's just poosh, like an ocean, like a fucking tsunami in the toilet. And... but there's a point if you do like a Fleet enema or something that all of your body just like a fucking, like someone is rolling out a toothpaste tube to get the last bit of toothpaste out. Just, and you're trying to shit so hard, your whole body clenches up and just force out this fucking black hole to just let a fucking mountain fall out of your ass. It's Bono. Yeah. Bono is the hugest piece of shit in the world.
Yeah.
With his tinted shades, cunt. No, it's like shitting out a barrel cactus that's been soaked in sulfuric acid and lit on fire. Okay. That's what it feels like.
Right, it does, because it does.
Yeah, it's the...
You're just crying.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, for real. Just biting a towel, crying, and looking in the toilet.
Butt
like, oh,
naked.
There's so much fucking blood.
Like, straight butt naked.
Of course, because you're sweating profusely.
No clothes. Yeah. Yeah. Sweating, and I gotta sneeze.
Glorious, dude. Drug addiction is a glorious life, you know what I mean? Everything's
aggressive.
Very glorious. It was.
It's really aggressive. Yeah, no, it's really fun. It's really a fun time.
Yeah, everybody drives nice cars. Everybody wears nice clothes that they wash frequently.
Dope as shit.
Yeah. I mean, really good lifelong friends that for sure don't, like, want your money or, you know, they care about you for you.
Very,
you know what I mean?
Very, like,
supportive.
Good careers.
Of you, always.
Yeah,
great always.
Career
I've
path.
Never met a heroin addict that wasn't very successful.
You feel me?
Yeah. All of that was an experiment if we could actually lie very hard. And we did. We did good. I feel like we lied very hard.
Yeah.
All of those things, of course, are not true.
No.
If you do drugs, just quit your job immediately. If you're like, I'm going to do drugs now, just quit. Leave.
Do
don't
drugs,
talk to your family anymore.
Dude.
Yeah. We'll convince you not to. Yeah. That's honestly, like, I've been reaching out to... I'm going to talk to you guys for a minute. I've been reaching out to fellow podcasters and Instagram pages. Soon we'll have a Facebook page. We'll have a Facebook page up so we can get on groups there about mental health and addiction, recovery, and all things like that. But I've been reaching out to other podcasters in a similar niche to ours, which is mental health, addiction, all within the subgenre of comedy. We don't take ourselves too seriously. That's how we're able to kind of talk about all of our stupid shit that we've done in such a manner.
It'd be lame if we didn't, honestly.
Yeah. We would be like woke people getting offended at a joke for someone else. You know? It just doesn't make any fucking sense. Mm. Just everybody... live your life and have fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot mental, everybody has mental health.
Yeah.
Okay. Now mental health means both things. It means good things and bad things are mental health. So if you're happy, that's mental health.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If you're bipolar, you're depressed, if you have anxiety, this is all mental health. taking care of that can be a difficult task, honestly, because it really depends on your brain chemistry, on how your mental health is being taken care of.
Yeah.
And yeah, that type of shit can slip away from you.
If you're not fucking working at it every day, like, there's no fucking, there's no point of putting on a fucking facade that you're happy. Like,
no.
If you're saying, I did this last week, and you're fucking the most depressing fucking person ever, but you're telling, I'm telling you, like, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah. This is so you're great. You're never gonna feel better.
No.
Because you're not being, it's like lying to a therapist.
Right.
It's like telling a therapist the opposite story that what actually happened and then trying to decipher from what he said what you should actually do. It's not going to work like that.
I did that with the therapist at my rehab, and they're like, I'm not a cop, man. Like, you can tell me stuff.
Like, I did that when I went into jail. I was just like, nope, I don't do drugs. And they're like, you're here on, okay, whatever, bye then. Yeah. And then I just suffer and not get any kind of medication and not deal
Librium.
With it. Yeah, Librium. That was like the best thing you can get in jail to help you fucking sleep.
It helped.
The guy, it did, for sure.
It fucking helped.
It helped immensely. But yeah, I reached out to other podcasters and pages on Instagram. There's, I don't really know about a community that exists on Instagram.
No.
But we are... We're trying, our basically our goal is kind of like being sponsors to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, not just that. Obviously, people that are suffering with addiction or even just mental health type issues, we've gone through a lot of it, or at least we know people who have, and especially addiction. We've been addicted to, I mean, all of the best drugs. You know,
I'll just say all of the above.
Yeah. And we got out of it after a really long fucking time. And most of the time you don't want to get out of it because you're like, it's fucking hard. And it is.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing in the world. But other than that, obviously, I was like, we could just sponsor one because we've both done our 12 steps.
Yeah.
We're eligible to be sponsors to people. So why sponsor one person when you can sponsor 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Something like that. Help. If I can help one person, that's great. If I could help 1,000, that's even better. Right?
Dude, if one person who stumbles upon this podcast and is like, oh shit, this is pretty funny, I wish I had somebody to talk to, hit us up.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
We both have Instagrams. We have the Still Fucking Up podcast Instagram. We'll soon have an SFU podcast. Probably it'll be called Facebook. We have the SFU podcast YouTube page. We have the SFU podcast at gmail.com. You can fucking email it. You can message Lego666_ or JuanSFU on Instagram. Any of those things. And we're open to talk because we already did all of this shit. We've already been through it.
If you or whatever, anybody in your family is going through some shit that you know.
Yeah, I've already done that. I've helped a lot of people already who have hit me up. Like, my fucking cousin is just a wreck. He's all fucked off. He's like, how can we stop him? Like, you can't stop him, okay? All you can do is lead him to the right way to go about things.
Just show him the fucking path, dude. Like, this. For so long, people, like, addicts stumble through their life, dude, not knowing what the fuck to do. Sometimes it does take that, bro. Fucking somebody.
Because otherwise they're going to give up.
Yeah. Somebody needs to fucking grab you, and not in an aggressive fucking way, because we don't take that shit lightly, obviously, when we're high.
No.
But it's like, look, dude, we got everything set up for you, because that's one thing we also don't like to do, is working at what we need to do for positive reasons.
No.
So especially if somebody's already got it set up.
Like, and there's always that I need to get high one more time thing.
Look,
not everybody needs to go to rehab.
No.
Some people just need somebody who understands to talk to. And then at least in this place, we have the Arizona Recovery Center with Dr. Vona. She's fucking great. And she's what helped save me. And all I can do is try to help somebody else basically pay it forward. Do for somebody else what somebody has done for me. And a lot of lives get wasted through this type of shit. And
yeah, dude.
They lose hope because their mom stops talking to them because they can't deal with it anymore. They just keep getting hit up for fucking money. It's tough.
When I was on the run, and I'll keep that short, but like I was ready to give up, bro. Remember I told you, I was hoping every fucking shot I was doing was like, okay, this is the last one. I didn't give a fuck. Because nobody, it's not that nobody gave a shit. It's just that nobody was in the position to.
Well, you were convinced nobody gave a shit because you're like, well, nobody wants to fucking deal with me.
Just at that time, too, like everything with the family, like they couldn't be around me. I couldn't be over there. So it's just like, fuck, I have nothing but this.
Yeah, it's the most shameful and lonely thing. Even if around a bunch of fucking people, you're just like, nobody want. I mean, if it's your family or your old friends who actually do give a fuck about you, you're like, nobody fucking here cares about me.
Yeah.
They think I'm a fucking piece of shit. And it's like, you're doing piece of shit things. You know what I mean? You're not being yourself.
That, and you're right. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Drugs, they change who you are and how you act.
Yeah.
I would say things on drugs that I would never fucking dream of saying to somebody.
I've done some horrible fucking things, bro.
I've killed so many people, dude. Yeah, let's just fucking say it, all right?
Let's just say it. No, I don't love myself all the fucking time because of this shit I've done, but I've learned that I have to, bro. Because how the fuck am I supposed to get better? And
exactly. It's like asking somebody who's all mad at you if you're like, what can I do to make it up to you?
You should know.
And they can't give you an answer because there's nothing to do to actually make it up. It just takes time for people to kind of just get over things.
Yeah.
And that's really all you can do. You can't force people to forgive you. You can't force people to feel a certain way. That's just how shit works. But nobody has to be alone in recovery or in their addiction.
No,
it's just not how it works.
That's one thing that I think was so dumb on my part. Like, especially when I was in rehab, I was thinking, I'm fucking, nobody's here for me. And everyone's like, hey, stupid, we're fucking here for you. Like,
Yeah, even alone. Complete strangers.
Yeah.
Because they understand what the fuck it is.
That's something that I loved about where I was out there. Because, like, the community out there for, like, recovery and shit was huge, bro. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew each other. Oh, you're at this rehab. Oh, you're over here at this one. Oh, cool. What meeting you guys going to? Everybody knew each other because of that. We'd go to meetings and we would go. Yeah, a lot of people would go to meetings and be like, there's chicks, dude. But no, we would go to meetings and go chop it up with everyone.
Yeah.
And get a bunch of different stories from people. Like,
it's gaining a different community and an accepting community. Because communities are not accepting of drug addicts. They look down on drug addicts because some drug addicts commit crimes in order to feed their addiction or their. They can, you know, seem off-putting. Like, I'm sure we were both very gaunt Halloween decoration-looking motherfuckers at certain points in our lives. But there's always some people that just know that you're struggling, that you have a fucking what's classified as a disease.
Yeah.
There's an impulse control problem. There's cognitive dissonance. There's a lot of shit going on. There's disrupted brain function and your chemistry's all fucked up. Your estrogen's too high. Your testosterone's too low. You're just not being yourself.
Yeah, and you cannot do this shit alone. You can't.
Nah.
Nope. You can't because you need that. You need those fucking
It won't
people.
Work forever. If you try to do it alone, it's not going to work forever.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could, whatever, say you're doing it alone.
You could stop.
But you fucking.
But you won't stay stopped
if you don't get help.
You
need those people.
Yeah.
That are fucking holding you up. Not obviously not all the time. Ow, that fucking hurt my tooth.
Hell yeah.
That shit really
hurt.
That's
what you get.
But you need those people to fucking hold you up, especially when you're feeling down.
Basically, it's like that security blanket thing. You don't need someone, you don't need a security blanket all the time, but for those times that you feel weak, you do. You need that. You need a person that you can hit up and be like, I'm not feeling so great. Shit's going down right now. And I don't know what to do because every time something like this happened before, the only way I knew how to take care of it was to get high and forget about it. And now I don't have that.
Yeah, now you're
what
forced
the
to
fuck do I do?
Deal with your
and it's like
and shit.
Normies, you know what I mean? Who never had to deal with it, they go, Well, yeah, of course, you know, bad things happen. Just cry. And you're like, well, it's kind of like a control thing. I even said it to my recovery doctor who helped me. I was like, I relapsed when my grandma died and my grandpa just died yesterday. So it's like, I haven't had time to like grieve about anything. And, but I know not everything is in my control, especially emotions. And there's nothing to be scared of.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, yeah, when someone in your family dies that you love, it's terrible and it makes you sad.
Yeah.
But what's the harm in feeling that? And missing out on feeling all those things is bad as well. Because you only gain an understanding of what's good in your life when you understand what was good and is no longer there.
I think it's such a fucking good and healthy thing to feel. Like, when you're feeling pain, it's so good to fucking feel pain. That's why when I'm going through pain, I make jokes about it. Like, my fucking dumbass made this shit happen to me. Now I'm depressed. Yeah. It's what I get. But it's like, it's such a healthy fucking thing because you fucking acknowledging how you're feeling instead of ignoring it. Like, instead of being like,
we're trying to cover it up.
Yeah. But it's good to feel that because you feel fucking alive, dude. Like, it's such an emo fucking thing to say, but like, don't cry and be depressed and be like, I'm fucking feeling something.
But it's like that saying, you can't appreciate the light if you don't go through the dark or some shit.
Yeah.
It's a cliche, but it's 100% the truth.
For sure.
And, I just repeat the mantra that, like all things, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And time is the only thing that that really fixes the worst of everything. And mental health is not one of those things that can get fixed with time alone.
No.
It doesn't get fixed with time alone. And addiction doesn't get fixed with just time alone. It
it's definitely
it grows. It gets deeper and more insidious and fucked up the longer you go without trying to figure shit out.
Yeah, it's a definite fucking fight, and a lot of people don't fucking make it, bro. Like,
yeah, but
it sucks.
If you know that in most places, at least within an hour of most places, you can get, if you're on heroin, you can get into Suboxone treatment or Sublocade, or you can even do methadone, which I don't recommend. I recommend Suboxone to anybody because that's what helped me, and it's a lot better. You don't get high off of it. It kills the impulse problems. It's a fucking lifesaver. But
yeah, there's things you can do, man. Like, there's no fucking point. There's no reason for you to feel like you need to give up, because there's definitely fucking things you can do. There's fucking places you can call and you could get the help.
Therapy, podcasts really helped me. Listening to podcasts that made me laugh. We're here, so if this type of thing, as far as I mean, in my research, there was no like addicts that were just doing a podcast just about being addicts and what life is like now, just cracking fucking jokes, trying to use comedy in a way to fucking just get your mind off of dumb shit. But you can't always keep your mind off the dumb shit.
No.
Sometimes you have to just go right at the dumb shit and be like, this is why it fucking sucks. And this is life, though. And life, when you come down to it, I think about it all the time. Usually when I'm trying to go to sleep, I'll be like, God, it feels like 5 weeks ago. I was 13 years old. Now it's 20 years later. I'm 33. What happens when I'm 40? I will soon be 50 and 60, hopefully. Then I'll be in my grandpa's position where I'm laying in a bed and there's no help. There's nowhere to go. And that's like the existential fear that a lot of addicts run from.
Yeah.
But unknowingly they're running to it, because that's 90% of the time that's where you're going.
From the beginning.
And it's kind of, I mean, a lot of addicts say they don't care if they die. And I've definitely been in that position where I was like, I hope this is the way that I go out. I hope it's on my terms and that type of shit. But it's that's a super selfish thing, because there are people that loved you and they still do.
See, I remember saying that, like, I don't care that I die. And
yeah, of course.
I remember going, like, overdose, right?
Yeah.
I come to and I'm like, holy fuck.
Like, yeah. It's like there's a thing on Netflix about near-death experiences.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I just saw that.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And obviously, I've had near-death experiences. I had been dead for seconds, whatever, like 7 seconds or some crazy shit. Not anything like minutes. But it definitely gives you a perspective. And I continued to do drugs after that.
Yeah.
It didn't stop me.
Same.
And
every time.
Yeah, so it didn't scare me enough at the time. But then later on, once you get a clear head, that's when it all hits you. Like, fuck, dude, I almost died 3 times.
Yeah.
There was 3 times where, one time where I'd have been gone if someone didn't come in and drag me out of there. 2 other times that I was fucking very close to just dropping out and nobody was there to help me. And it's not okay, because there's a lot of people, especially in the last couple of years, a lot of people that we both know just went through this and they died and they're fucking gone and their parents are upset and crying and having to bury their children.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
That's the most fucked up thing. Like, I've heard this in a movie. Like, if you would step back
from that ledge, my friend,
if your parents die, you're a fucking,
orphan.
You're an orphan, like,
yeah.
And if, what's it called, when your spouse dies, you're a widow.
Widow.
But if when your child dies, there's no word for that, because it's not. Nothing,
you're just
there's nothing for
childless.
It.
Childless. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there isn't a word for it. Is there a word for killing your kid? I know there's a word for killing your parents, patricide.
Oh.
There, and then killing your mom's matricide. Oh, if it's a baby, it's infanticide. Which is a fucking sick death metal album name.
Dude, what the fuck?
Like, if I start a death metal band, that shit's going to be called Infanticide.
Start up.
And no one will let me play anywhere because it's...
Start a boy band called that.
Damn.
Tune in next week for the music video.
Yeah. I'm going to write a fucking cool-ass boy band song called Infanticide.
Yeah.
I guess you could say, like, abortions are technically infanticide. Late term abortions are infanticide. Mmm, delicious. The fuck was that? Any parting wisdom for the folks out there?
We've said it before. It's 3 fucking letters. P
M A. It's all about that PMA, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep positive.
QAnon positive, man.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he said.
That's what
just
I'm
now.
Saying.
He was at the Capitol. He knows what the fuck's up. Joe Biden got inaugurated today. Everything seems fine. You know what I mean? I don't know.
We're going to open the garage right now.
Fire.
<in flames.
laughs> The bombs fucking. What the fuck happened? Who knows? None of it fucking matters, everybody.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're going to be fine. The robbery's what's important now. Hey, the guy. You planning on leaving anytime soon? Seeing as how none of us know who you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for listening to the Still Fucking Up Podcast. We're fucking out of here, dude. Still fucking up.